Well, we could start back over. Welcome, Jen. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. How far did you get?
Just to that point, actually. Yeah,
Well,
we're right
perfect.
at the top. So,
Okay.
great.
Great.
So word on the street is there's a great email class coming up that's going to be featuring this Socratic process. So maybe we could just start by talking a little bit about what that is and how it works.
Yeah, perfect. So I thought it would be fun just to state the obvious of how incredibly fabulous email classes are in general.
Oh,
Because
yeah.
you never know, there might be someone who hasn't participated in one. And just kind of the basics of that for me are getting to see literally hundreds of different perspectives on the same thing. And to see the way people articulate things, how they're looking at what they're looking at, and then getting to see the guide's response to each of those is incredible, I find. And then having the, I was looking at that today, the written form of the responses, I find is a really helpful modality. And that I know a lot of people have talked about this, but then getting to look at those and to record either all of the responses or especially the ones that really resonate for me, and then getting to listen back to those just feels like such a fabulous way to take in a lot of practice information in another way.
Yeah, boy, I'm right there with you. I love that. What? Talk about a treasure trove of practice
Yeah.
right there. Just all, those archives of all those different responses.
Yep.
Gosh, and we can record it, we can listen back to it, and just surround ourselves with that wonderful practice conversation. And I love what you're talking about, just that experience of in an email class getting to hear everything that everyone else is looking at, and
Yes.
maybe on a content level it's different, but on a process level I could see it all applies
Yeah.
to me. In a certain way, it's all for me, every bit of it.
That's right. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly so. Exactly so. And that treasure trove, that's such a good word for it. I have a commitment that every day I'm taking something and I'm reading something that is deepening my practice. And in email classes, that's it. It's the responses. I mean, it's such a rich text of direct practice experience. But
Yeah.
in particular, the Socratic method class, we did one. Actually, I don't think, was it last year? It might have even been the year before. I can't remember.
It was last year, yeah.
Was it? Okay. I remember being in Africa, and it wasn't this last trip, so. But what was amazing about that class, so in that structure, instead of having a particular assignment that each person is responding to, each person looks to see at the beginning of the class, what am I looking at in practice? What's up for me? What do I want to look at? What do I want to ask about? What do I want to inquire into during this period of time? And so what to me was so big about that, first of all, was just to watch the process of choosing that. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. A workshop right there, just watching the
Oh,
process of choosing what to work with.
exactly. A workshop right there.
Wow.
And then luckily, nothing was left out. Everything I wanted to cover and didn't choose because I only had one option was covered by everybody else, which
Gift
was
of Sangha.
incredibly, yeah, exactly, incredibly fabulous in itself. And then what I saw, which was amazing in the process, and it makes me so excited for this upcoming class to work with it again, is that, first of all, from the very first response that I got back from the guide, it flipped what I was looking at on its head. That
Oh,
I
wow.
wasn't looking at all what I thought I was looking at. The very first question that I received back had a complete tilt to it, and ego hated it, irritated and frustrated and all that. And it just, what I watched was right there in that first interaction, it was so clear who the practitioner was and what egocentric karma conditioning self-hate was, because the practitioner was so excited and so enthusiastic about the transformation ahead, and egocentric karma conditioning self-hate was hating every minute of it.
Wow. Yeah, what a powerful experience you described. Yeah, of just with that very first question, the guide's response to the very first question, it just flips the whole issue on its head. Nothing that it sounds like conditioned mind would have ever thought of. And then you get to see so clearly what's the heart and what's conditioning, because the heart is so excited, this new information, a new perspective, like, yes, and conditioning just hating it. It's great.
Yeah, it is so great. It's so great. And then the thing that I watched this in the progression for myself in my interactions with the guide, and I sure projected it onto reading other responses as well. This going deeper and deeper and deeper, because what we're encouraged is to choose one thing and then to keep looking at it, to kind of, you know, hit the ball back and forth with the guide. And that what I was looking at today, the analogy that dropped in is, I think it's Alan Watts who talks about trying to look at your own eyeballs and how obviously tricky that is to do. And that to me, what that points at is this place in practice that happens where, you know, we talk about practice is not a self-improvement program, and we all kind of go, no, it's not a self-improvement program. No, of course it's not. But at least for me, on some level, that's what's going on, right? There's this sense of like, you know, I'm getting better at this, and I'm, you know, in this way, and if I could little tweak this a little bit. And so there's a way that I can kind of stay subtly in control under the radar, which, you know, makes it happy and all those things. And so it can let me, you know, it'll let me go to a certain point, but not past that point, not anything that's going to actually threaten its existence. And what I noticed in this class was that its existence really got threatened, because as we went deeper and deeper and deeper, it begins to, that the only thing that can happen at a certain point is it gets revealed, that thing that's behind the scenes, invisibly operating, that's the thing that eventually gets revealed. And it's never supposed to get revealed, right? We're supposed to, you know, go along and do enough practice, but we either quit before we get to that point, or we get scared and we turn back, or whatever happens. But in a process like this with the guide, there's the potential that very thing that is holding us back behind the scenes starts to get revealed. And the thing that's so great about it is that can sound scary, but it's actually incredibly liberating. And what happens in a class like this is that we get to have that experience with the support of so many other people doing that same thing, and it's incredibly joyful.
Yeah, sounds scary to ego, but it's incredibly liberating. We're not alone. We've got the support of all of Sangha, and it's incredibly joyful. And it's great. It sounds like, from what you were describing, the very structure of the Socratic process email class itself really lends to this deep exploration, where we have the opportunity to have this basically a one-on-one kind of dialogue with the guide, and receiving this really fresh, you know, the unconditioned perspective, and staying with one particular topic or issue or content or whatever, and not kind of bouncing around from thing to thing. We're able to kind of, with the guide's assistance and support of Sangha, just go deeper and deeper and deeper into that and revealing all of that.
You know what? That's it, Lakota. You just put your finger on the ingredient. Not doing that jumping around to here and here. It's sort of that place of like, finances, right? I want to look at finances. So if it's up to me, I look at that until, that's okay now. Now let me look at this. Now let me look at, and with that bouncing around process, often because ego's invisibly in charge, we don't get to that really critical place where that process begins to be revealed. So yeah, that is it. I think that is the power of it, is sticking with that one thing and just to have the privilege of going deeper and deeper and deeper with that.
Oh gosh, it's so good. So good. Yeah, and as you were talking about that too, I just was seeing that it's so wonderful, you know, because maybe I'm just working with one content and working this maybe one process around a particular content, but I kind of get to see too, in my experience anyway, that how I do anything is how I do everything. And then once I really see through this one process really clearly, I see how it applies globally to just about everything in my life. And wow, it just opens so many doors.
Exactly. Exactly so, because it opens that critical process door. And that's the only way we can open that process door, isn't it? Ironically, is sticking with the one quote content. Because if we jump around and around, then we never get to see the full process. But if we stick to the one thing, then we see the process. And as you say, that process is applicable to everything. And we get to see everybody else's content, right? So in a way, we do get to see it with all. You know, we always talk about it's the process, not the content. But the content is sort of the magic window into the process if we're willing to look through it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gosh, and I love that last point, too, that just being in this class with all of Sangha, getting to see that, you know, on a process level, that, gosh, we're all so much more similar than we are different, that we're not alone, that this conditioned system we're up against is universal. It's not personal at all, and we're all in it together.
Yeah, exactly so.
Well, I see we're just about at the end of our time. Was there anything you'd like to add before we end?
I can't wait.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
I'm so excited. I really am. I really am. I do. You know, I've gotten to where I sort of schedule it in, if you will, in the sense of I know the email class is coming up. So, okay, I'm not going to be reading something else. Well, I'm not going to be doing other this is what I'm going to be doing for my, quote, extracurricular practice. So I really give it the space that I want to give it.
I'm right there with you. Yep. Arrange the schedule to be able to just be as fully present to you and participate as deeply in this amazing opportunity as I can.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
really,
thanks so much, Jen, for being with us and talking
about
this. Oh, thank
you, Dakota. Yeah, really fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have a great email class.
Thank you.
Care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. It's spring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Gorgeous.
Everything is gorgeous. The days are long.
Yes.
Yeah. Happy, happy, happy.
Lovely. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Jen's comment about content being the magic window where we can see into the process.
Yes. I'm excited for that email class.
Great.
I think I'll sign it.
I'm signed up, and I'm looking forward to it. And, yes, conditioning is already doing the scramble about what the topic should be. So that'll be interesting.
And it really doesn't matter, does it, as they were indicating? Whatever we choose, it's going to take us exactly where we need to go. So.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you want to share before I read the announcements?
No, can't think of anything.
Okay, great. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. The next quarter begins April 15th, and the deadline to register is this coming Saturday, April 1st. And as Lakota and Jen were just talking about, a new email class with you, Sherry, starting April 4th, will assist in the exploration of beliefs and assumptions, karmic tendencies, and identities that prevent us from accessing unconditional love and acceptance. The class will ask you to explore the context from which it is possible to see through the eyes of love. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for the courageous work of ending self-hate and finding compassion for yourself and others, join the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners. And the process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Join Sherry and Ashwini in a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 15th through 20th in North Carolina. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and to practice life's joy. For these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make Gas Show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a 5-minute conversation focused on one topic is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, isn't there?
A lot going on. A lot going on in practice. It's a good thing.
Yeah, good thing. The weather is so beautiful and the days are nice and long. Mm-hmm. All works really well together.
Yes. Are you ready to jump in?
I am. I am indeed.
Good. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Justin. Hi, Michael, and hi, Sherry. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Justin.
Yes, we can, Justin. Good to hear your voice. What's going on?
Excellent. Oh, great to talk to you guys. I wanted some help, maybe. I've been trying to really focus, and this is like, really basic stuff, but to stay with the breath while at work and while I'm working, and you know, just staying with the breath and staying present, I feel like I'm building that muscle, and my Zen awareness coach has been really helpful in that regard. But I just wanted to get some help in terms of when I'm working and doing some, you know, things that are very engaging. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be?
It's tricky, isn't it? So, let me ask you this, Justin. What do you do currently? What are you already trying?
Okay, so what I'm trying at work is I've on my headphones. It's helpful because at work I've got a quiet space and I wear headphones and I can work with my headphones. I'm not engaging with people, but I set a little bell to go off every 15 minutes. And right now what I'm doing is every time I can get through 10 breaths, like a cycle, I'll just put a little check mark. I've got a little desk pad next to me, and I just put a little check mark. And so what I try and see is how many check marks I can get done in, every 15 minutes or every 30 minutes. So that's what I've been trying right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's not an element of a contest about it. I mean, you're just doing this
and you
for
know
yourself.
What?
Because
my Zen awareness coach, yes. No, my Zen awareness coach, we talked about this extensively, and it's really just to, I'm still undecided, you know, how much of this is a contest and how much of it is, you know, just to see, it's just to kind of baseline, like how much can I keep an attention going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it really does feel
like
support, not something that ego is going to take over and use against you.
Yes, it does feel supportive because, like I said, it feels like I want to build this muscle, this awareness muscle, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you do any recording with this? Any recording and listening with it?
Not too much around it. I mean, my recording and listening, I mean, you know, with Project Joy and whatnot, I keep up with that and those exercises around that. I think I've left maybe one or two dialogues with my mentor on this, but not extensive, no.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel particularly necessary to remind yourself because you've already got that established.
Yeah.
You've got it set up for
really
yourself.
Just
you're going to work.
Of, you know, yeah. So, Mike, the question is maybe, you know, is it realistic to think that I can stay with the breath when I'm, you know, throughout the workday in different types of work environments. So whether I'm, you know, reading, answering emails, working on a report, you know, working through numbers, and, you know, is realistic to think that, you know what, I can keep awareness 100% of the time or 90% or, you know, majority of the time?
Well, now, Justin, where does that question come from?
Yeah, I maybe help me on that. I think.
Okay. Well,
having,
so what I heard from you is that you want to do this to kind of build that muscle of paying attention and staying present as much as you can when you're at work, and somehow it segued into. Is it really possible to stay present all the time or 90% of the time? And those seem like two very different motivations or approaches or...
Got it. Yes, I got it.
And
yes,
that
and
could
that's why, you know,
make a person suspicious, huh?
Yes. No, I see it. I see it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like somebody once said, they were telling me something about relationship. The person they were with, really wanted a commitment and really wanted to nail this down and make sure this is exactly whatever it is. And the person who was telling me the story said, you know, I want to approach it as if in 20 years we're still here together, then we'll still be here together. So that might have been a little leap there. But the connection for me is the one who wants to get into a conversation about is this really possible or let's nail this down so that we don't have to think about it anymore or be present to it anymore is not the same person who has the desire to be more present. One is result. So we could say,
yeah, I'm nodding my head.
One is content, one is process, right?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So at whatever point you call me up and say, I've realized I can be 100% present all day long at work, then we're going to go, all right, Dustin. But it won't be about, I was right about that. Or it'll be coming from a place of delight, not a place of accomplishment.
I got it. Thank you very much, Sherry.
You are so welcome,
that was
sir.
Very helpful.
Always a pleasure.
Have a good evening. Thank you, Michael. Really appreciate it and love your participation.
Thank you,
thank
Justin.
You. Thank you, Justin.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anne from New York.
Well, my goodness.
Hi, Anne.
Hi.
This is great. Let's keep meeting like this.
Okay, we'll do.
What's going on?
I was just really putting myself in the queue because egocentric karmic self hate kind of wanted me not to. So I said, well, ha.
Well, now, Anne... As we established on Project Joy the other morning, the real reason you put yourself in the queue is because there was an impulse from life to do that.
Oh,
which is what started the conversation in conditioned mind about, no, no, don't do that. And then you added in the willingness to say, no, this you don't get to talk me out of doing what I want to do. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying in that. Life cued me to put me in the queue, and here I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I guess, let's see, what did I want to share? I guess just that, really.
So here you are.
So here I am. Thank you.
Practicing along.
We're practicing. Thank you so much for everything that all of you do, Michael and Sherry and Ashwini and Sangha and everybody.
That's great.
Me. Yeah.
Great.
Thank
Lovely
you.
To hear from you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
See you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And Sherry, we have another call here.
Well, good.
Yes. Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rico. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Rico, how are you doing?
Oh, God, am I glad it's springtime. Jeez, I'll tell you, these old bones didn't like that cold, wet winter.
I know. If we ask for it, you know, get us rain, please. We need rain. And then it's like, now we need sunshine. We're just an endless need machine, aren't we?
Well, something like that. Anyway, Sherry, I signed up for the email class coming up, and I've been sitting with the area of inquiry, and what comes up for me again and again and again, it's pretty consistent, is the notion of spiritual pride.
Mm.
And I didn't really quite have a finger on it until I found this quote, which is on my refrigerator, which says, "The hunger for validation becomes more subtle as we mature."
And the hunger for validation, becomes more subtle as we mature.
Yes.
I wonder what the definition of mature is there.
Well, maybe it's has to do with dedication to practice, because it was in relation to a mindfulness article.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
the
the hunger for validation. Go ahead.
Well, the other part of it is I'm reminded of a quote that really struck me from Joko Beck was, just notice the arrogance when you're waiting in line at the DMV, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it struck me about the arrogance. And it's very subtle. But there's an arrogance in my attitude about practice, and it's reflected.
Just practice or everything?
Well, that's a good question too. That's a good question.
So somebody was telling me about a sign that they saw. They're sitting in traffic, and. And the gist of it was, you're not stuck in traffic. You are traffic.
Exactly.
So I'm stuck in traffic because all of you are keeping me from getting where I want to go. And that perspective, right, that illusion of being separate from life is so obvious in that situation. My, all you people are in line, and you are keeping me from doing what it is that I want to do. And I only see the people in line ahead of me, right? Not the people who are in line behind me. Kind of like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what, in the way that spiritual pride or arrogance comes to me is my lifestyle permits quite a bit of time to devote to practice, and so I'm really going gangbusters in willingness and I don't know if it's determination, but I'm just so encouraged to give more and more to practice. And there's mm-hmm. a line in the daily recollection that seems to fit this inquiry I'm doing right now, which is, blessed is the knowledge of emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to describe spiritual arrogance, it would say, well, you know, I'm really, I got this emptiness thing going, pal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just something to consider with that, okay? I'm always leery of phrases that ego can so readily turn into something to be used against the human. So if we look at something like arrogance, so you could say arrogance. Okay, yeah, I really want to look into arrogance. And okay, maybe for somebody that's helpful. For me, it wouldn't be, because to me, it's looking in the wrong place. So what that's fostering is a belief that ego system of arrogance is the authentic nature of a human being, and then the work of the human being is to focus on the arrogance and root it out and improve and become somebody who is not arrogant. And to me, that whole process misses the point. For me, it's much more helpful to see that system for what it is and to see how I can get pulled into an identification with it. So Justin was just talking with us about being in activity through the day and practicing being with the breath, seeing how much of the time and through what kinds of activities awareness can be expanded so that there is the activity and the focus on the breath. And to me, that is so much more beneficial to us in practice than allowing ego to look for its faults, if we want to put that in quotes, right? Not to publish other people's faults, but look for its foibles and project those onto us so that, again, we get pulled into believing that's who I am. I really need to fix myself. I need to improve myself.
I follow what you're saying, and that doesn't quite hit the mark of my question. It's more as the surprise of seeing, not that I'm trying to fix anything, but to see how deeply ingrained this, and arrogance isn't quite the word, it's...
Let me try again, Rico. How deeply ingrained is a belief in the illusion of a self that is separate from life.
There it is right there. Thank you. That's it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So if we realize, so if it's the standing in line or the, you know, the traffic or the whatever it is, and we watch that irritation or impatience or the judgment come up, if there's the response of, whoa, here's ego, disidentifying over here, boss, let's drop that, let's get back to the breath, get back here, not a problem.
It's not a problem.
But if I give it attention, if I engage with it, if I get involved with it, then I've made it a problem, and ego is always happy to be somebody's problem.
Sherry, a couple times in the last week, I just about took pen to paper to send you a thank you note, and I can save the postage.
There you go. Let's just, we will just bow. We will bow to one another right now and save the paper, save the stamp, save the everything. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Good night, Rico.
Thank you, Rico.
Thank you.
Sherry, that was another fascinating conversation.
Good.
I love that. Yeah, I love that idea. What I heard in it was focusing on what's working, focusing on where we want to be rather than where we don't want to be.
Yeah.
And that's really helpful.
And not taking ego's projections personally and not believing that they are true and that they're anything that we need to get involved with.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, just drop it and go in the other direction, huh?
Exactly. Just drop it and get right here. Drop it and get right here.
Yeah,
because, you know, even if it were true, you know, even if there were truth in it, you know, people at that juncture want to say, well, yeah, but I really am. Okay, drop it. You don't need to drag it around. Okay, good, that happened. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's get here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant. And what's here is a chance to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Pasha. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you doing?
Wow, I'm doing really, really great. And I forgot that I placed myself on the line, and Yeah, I'm very surprised to be here.
That's something we want to get used to, huh? And be surprised when we find ourselves here.
Yes.
So what's going on?
Practice is going well and expanding to kind of many new areas of life. Like for me, kind of opportunities to practice at work, and I love the previous caller a topic of bringing awareness to workplace. And I find kind of conditioning is trying to get me into kind of helping other people in a form of like leaving my practice in order to, you know, doing something outside. And my practice is to bring it back here and start with this person, not going too far into pursuit of outside ideas.
Yeah. So yes, that's a good one, isn't it? So there you are. So what occurred to me with both of you fellows who are looking at the at work thing is that so the morning show, the Project Joy, gives us a daily focus, right? So you've got something that you can focus on throughout the day. So it's kindness or presence or whatever it is. And there's with the interactions with people. And then when it's not an interaction with people, of course, we can always practice being with the breath and that sort of thing. More of an internal focus with people. It's an expanded awareness to include all of those things, the breath, the person, all of that. And then what you notice, what I project you're noticing, is how the conversation turns into something that is a good thing, right? You're going to be helping someone.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, what you're noticing is the unspoken message is, so leave center.
Yeah.
Right? In order to go get involved with something that somebody else has going on, and that's not supportive.
Yes, and what I find is I don't know what is supportive or what is going to be supportive, but if I'm there with another, including this person, kind of in the presence, then there is a chances and opportunities for life to direct and show what is helpful. And today I found myself kind of almost like a challenging life, like, okay, and what is, you know, how are you going to solve this situation? Because I
help
have
me
no
out
idea.
Here. Yeah. And so let me ask you this. Did it work? What happened? Did you get an insight or some guidance?
It was actually very simple. It just, the condition expectation is going to be like, oh, it's a big problem and it needs some like a big solution, but just pausing and letting another person to kind of take a turn and not trying to do something for them is it's all that needed.
It worked. So that brings in such another wonderful aspect of it, We can get pulled into being helpful because there's an underlying assumption of inadequacy. We're not aware that of this belief that people need us to help them, to take care of them, to fix them, to get them out of whatever it is. So when you come from that place of adequacy and you know the adequacy of everyone, then somebody has an issue, be supportive while they resolve their issue, while life drops in.
Yeah.
And then you can just pat them on the back and say, good job.
My experience is kind of understanding the, you know, what is it they're going through, and also not going into like, well, I have all solutions and all the recipes, but just kind of like a connecting with another person. Like I kind of sympathize, I can understand.
Empathize, maybe.
But that was all that was required of me.
Yes.
There was no need to do anything. But by maybe that's all that person was needing to have space.
Which is another big piece of it, isn't it? So I don't need to make your life about me, right? I can actually accept that I am a bit player in other people's lives, right? So if you have something going on and I know full well that you're completely adequate, that life is guiding you as beautifully as it's guiding me, then I can just be there with you as you, you know, as you work through whatever it is that you're working through. I can be a supportive presence, but I don't have to make it about me, how I feel about it, and can I help, and do I need to solve this, and what does it mean if I can't, and, it's your life. You're equal to it. You're fine. Yeah.
Yes, and the challenge for me comes with interacting with a child who is, where ego wants to place me in a role of, this is a child and I'm a parent, and I'm supposed to, help him and do things for him when he cannot do things. So is also having that space for him to try, to fail, to learn, to experience, but be in a space of I'm here also, and I am I'm kind of like a safety line kind of So I don't need to interfere and help until we, hit some kind of like a border of safety where, I would be kind of preventing the accidents. But until we get there, there is, free space to experiment and try and fail and do whatever.
And to see that with a child, we can see how much more so it is with people in big bodies. You know, we all want to live our own lives. We really do. And so to realize that everybody is up to that task, then we can just relax and enjoy being in relationship without letting ego take it into all of those places that become so very unpleasant and prone to suffering.
All right. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you, Sherry.
Oh, it was great talking with you, Pasha. Take care. I think you're outside enjoying a beautiful day. Is that true?
I'm almost there. I'm at the door to get outside.
All right. Well, enjoy.
Thank
you. Talk to you soon. Take care, Pasha. Bye-bye. Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. Sherry, what dropped in while you and Pasha were talking is that my life gets a lot simpler when I'm attending to myself rather than getting tangled up in everybody else's lives and projecting inadequacy and all of that.
Yes, yes. And as I'm sure you know, that's what my teacher would call being a social relief.
Yes.
You're fine. You're not looking to anybody else to meet your needs. You're fine. And you're there to offer. If anybody needs anything or wants anything, you're certainly willing to do what you can do. But again, you don't have to, you're not making everybody's life about you. And so people can just relax around you, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So helpful.
Yeah. Kindness to everyone.
Yes. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Joy from Virginia.
Well,
hi,
hello.
Hello. I've talked to you once before, and I just put myself on the line because everybody else is doing it, so.
it's the thing to do.
The thing to do, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And I just
uh-huh.
have to say, I just found the last conversation so helpful, so very, very helpful. It's a definitely a thing that I have dealt with in the past. And I found that the only way that I could stop doing it was to actually not live in the same house with the person that I was doing it with. Not that I don't do it with
uh-huh.
everybody, but it was particularly with this person. And
Yeah, so you are you a pathological helper?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, I'm...
And so you had to put yourself in rehab for a while.
In rehab, I'm totally in rehab. And so I found it that was the only way I could really do that. And so I do find that I still do it, but at least I'm asking
mm-hmm.
myself the questions and I'm having a little bit more distance.
Mhm.
And yeah. So.
And what are your signals that you're doing it? I mean, do you find yourself being resentful as a result or impatient with people if they don't respond appropriately? Or what kind of signals do you get? Say, oops, I'm doing that thing again.
I'm happy to be needed. I'm happy to ditch my job and go help you.
Uh-huh. But what about down the road? Because, you know, I'm not going to possibly,
down the road,
there's
yeah.
no way I'm going to be grateful enough to compensate for you for giving up your life.
All right, then I start screaming at you. And that's when I was like, actually,
uh-huh.
that's kind of what drove me into practice. I was like, whoa, not quite the person I was wanting to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
good to
yeah.
see, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It is good to see. And the way you framed it, we start out with, you know, I was telling somebody this recently, that story that the Buddha talked about with a silk scarf and knots. And there's a knot tied in the, you know, it would be tied in the middle of the silk scarf. And then there's another knot tied in the middle. And then there's another. Pretty soon you've got a little knot of knots. And keep tying those knots and keep tying those knots. And we come to practice when there's not enough scarf left to tie another knot, right? We've run out of our ability to continue in the way that we've been going. And when that happens, it's as you say, you know, you just realize, whoa, I am not who I want to be. I am not getting the results that I was told I was going to get from being that person. This is really not working. I need to see what's going on here and be open to something new.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that doesn't mean, okay, great, I'm cured. Now I'm free of that. It's untying the knots, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next one. Yeah.
Yeah, so actually this person has been my greatest teacher because in the past I have been able to be helpful because I could really, it got to the point where it was very obvious I was not helpful at all. I was thrown back on myself. And
mm-hmm.
so I really started looking inside. And so it's been quite the fascinating little journey.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know how much of that you actually mean or how often you're there, but that attitude will really serve us, won't it? So it is a fascinating journey. Instead of what we've been taught to believe, right? This is what's wrong with you. Here's the proof. You need to feel really bad about it, and then you need to do whatever you need to do to yourself to make yourself not be that way so that you can be the right person, and then you'll be happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not a fascinating journey. It is a brutal journey of suffering.
Yeah.
And so to have that thing of, wow, this is utterly fascinating. I have the opportunity here to watch a human being up really close and see how all this stuff works.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way more fun.
Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Let's do this again.
Definitely.
All right, good.
Bye.
Excellent. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Joy. Sherry, I love how each caller brings what they have from the conversation before. It seems like just such a practice of presence to incorporate from the previous conversation and bring it all together, and it's just so helpful.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's it enables us all to see a broader perspective, doesn't it?
Yes.
Which is the best thing about Sangha. I think Jen was talking about that with the Socratic email class that's coming up, right?
Yes.
That there's whatever I've got going on with it, and there's whatever you've got going on with it, and then there are all these other people. And so with all of us together, we just are able to see things that we would not be able to see on our own in a lifetime. So it's kind of a, you know, I was just talking with somebody about this. She was talking to another Buddhist who said something along the lines of, well, you know, this is this time, but, you know, you'll be back. And we looked at each other and went, no, we won't. You know, there may be rebirth, but I'm not going to be back. You're not going to be back, right? This is it for Sherry Huber and Michael Gray. This is it. And so if we realize that, and so how then do we expand as much as possible? How can we learn lifetimes of stuff in one lifetime? Well, practice with a great big sangha, because among us all, we have it covered. Right? There is nothing about a human experience that one or more of us is not having at any given point in time.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And was it Ashwini who said that the intelligence that animates needs all of us to express itself?
Yes. Yes. All of us little nodes of intelligence, right?
Yes.
And here it is, just like one of those things of lights popping on, right? Just lighting up, lighting up, lighting up, lighting up, lighting up.
Wow. I'm lit up, that's for sure.
I'm lit up.
Mm-hmm. And we have more callers still So
they're lit up too, I bet. They've got the little lights going on your computer.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. This is Karen in North Carolina.
Hello, hey, Karen.
Hi there. I just love it. I'm so lit up. And, I don't know
what's going on.
Well, right before the end of the last during the segue between the conversations, I'm listening on my phone through the app, and I listen on speakerphone, and inevitably I will check back in on my phone and take it off speaker, and then I'm unmuted. So it's almost like there's this intuitive knowing that happens.
Uh-huh.
And that's just remarkable to me.
Yes. That, to me, is one of those where very often I'll wake up 1 minute before an alarm goes off.
Yes.
And you just feel so cared for, don't you?
I do. I just feel so cared for. It just, yes. And it just is so, there's something that's trying to express itself that doesn't feel cared for that then feels cared for, but I don't know how to express that. Anyway, yeah.
So it doesn't feel cared for until an experience like that?
Well, there was something that was trying to express itself. It was probably just some piece of conditioning. That act of feeling, that experience of feeling cared for, is just so it's just such faith. It's such a it's received with it's well, I guess I'm seeing how it's received with such gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and delight.
And delight. So it was at the beginning of the call, there was this very strong resistance to putting myself in the queue, but because that's my commitment, that's what I did. And it was just so interesting to go through that process. It lasted about, 10 seconds, not that long, but the fact that it still is a choice place each time.
Yes, exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The commitment is to life, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We watch ego conditioning come in with no.
Mm-hmm.
And it scrambles around and tries to do what it does. And because you've been practicing for a long time, you're watching that. You're not confused about whether you're going to go with the resistance. You're just not. But you see the whole thing happen. And then move right back into life's yes.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the best part about that is the simple fact of one feels really good and the other really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to that point of realizing that for a long time, we are convinced that following that resistance is going to give us something we want. Right? I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. That's too hard. It's scary. I'll do it later. Okay? And the belief that that's somehow taking care of us. But as soon as we see, no, that's just ego saying no to the yes that is life, then I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that. That doesn't. And when we're not identified with ego, feeling bad does not feel good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? That's so, yes, yes.
Because when we are identified with ego, feeling bad does feel good. That's, righteous anger and a resentment rant or self-pity, feeling, being a victim, blaming, all of those kinds of things that identified with ego feel really good. They can feel powerful, even a victim position can feel powerful to the ego. As soon as we see the difference between those two states, then we want feeling good to feel good.
Yes, as soon as I have that experience, I mean, I see it modeled, what you're describing, I see it modeled everywhere. And then to have the experience of the other, of choosing life and the feeling good, and just that's that energetic place of the conscious choice to choose life's energy in that larger sense, no matter how it feels. I might not feel like there's the physical energy, and then there's just the energy for being alive, and there's kind of two different experiences sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes mm-hmm. if I don't know.
And there's a very subtle ability to watch those and recognize them without letting any voices make meaning out of anything.
Yes. Yes. I was listening to a discussion that happened at the monastery recently about energy, and it's very profound, and I'm really looking forward to listening to it again, and how we do make that choice moment by moment for the presence energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That the energy is always there. I remember that discussion. It was a good one, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yes, that the energy is always there, but depending on what we're doing, how identified we are with ego, we may experience that energy. We can call it good energy because it feels so good, right? We either experience that or we don't. The energy is always there. And one of the things that I love most about that whole process is that we are required to take care of ourselves in order to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're required, right, to choose life, to be present, to take care of ourselves in that not being a human sacrifice and getting enough sleep and eating well and exercising and not eating a bunch of sugar and not overdosing on caffeine and all of those kinds of things that help a human being to be open to as much of that life force as possible, have our attention on that energy, realize that that's always available to us if we choose it, if
mm-hmm.
we turn our attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's a conversation
yep.
that yes, and I'm going to continue to listen to that that discussion again and again because it brings up so many questions and ways of looking that experiences that other people were having. And I'm going, okay. Well, I think that is so.
Well,
cool.
I'm gonna. I said that night, I think, Karen, why do you have access to that? Is that something that donors get
yes.
automatically?
Yes, it's on the monthly donor page. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I promised that night that I was going to turn it into a blog, and that's why I was wanting everybody who was there that night to go through the process with me, because we really were laying it out, and a first is this, then comes that, then comes that, then comes that. And I do think it'll be helpful for people in understanding that process that almost everybody who practices is familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm right here, I'm committed, I'm present, I'm excited, I'm lit up, this is what I want to do. Whoop, stepped in a hole. Go into all of this, I can't, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, it's too hard, identification, and then whoop, back up again. I'm right here, I'm excited. And it's not just about practice, right? It's about everything, all those things I just mentioned. Now all I want to do is meditate. I haven't thought about meditation in weeks. I'm on a health kick. I'm eating really well, I'm exercising a lot, I'm getting a lot of good sleep, and then I go off in some other direction, and and people are aware of that happening on a, you know, sometimes it's every couple of days, sometimes it's weeks at a time or months at a time. And the process that we were looking at really explains how that happens, and I think how to not have that experience, which is critical for those of us who are doing our best to wake up and end suffering.
Well, it certainly allows for the energy for that to wake up an ending suffering.
Yes. Yep. Exactly so.
That's what yeah. was so exciting. It's like this is it's mm-hmm. the process that really that is enables that.
It's like a recipe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
do this. Uh-huh.
So it's posted up on the Modo page now. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Very mm-hmm. good. All right. Well, thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And wow, that was a great show, Sherry. Fabulous.
There's a fun group of people. It is undeniable. We have
yes,
a good time.
Yes, and also, yeah, mm-hmm. unbelievable to have such a committed, aware, focused. We see the best of people, and it's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. So thank you, beautiful person.
Thank you, beautiful person, and I'll talk with you next week.
All right. Good night, Michael.
Good night.